check one too.
Right, right, right. So you're going to want to keep that close to your heart and to your mouth.
Do I have to do this every time I talk?
I mean, move your stool closer when you want.
Like this? Or should I just...
Move your stool closer. I'll be standing.
Oh, I want to... Why are you standing?
Okay, cool. We can both stand tete-a-tete.
Okay.
All right, so let me just post this on Gram.
I turned your archive on because I knew this.
Oh, are we going?
Yeah, I did.
We're on.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is... Are we broadcasting?
Uh-huh.
Let's do it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is K-Chung Radio. This is Open Up and Bleed. I'm sure you missed this show last week, but this week we have a very special guest. Morgan, introduce yourself.
Who was the guest last week?
Oh, I wasn't here last week. That's why they missed it. Bye, guys.
Bye.
There was no guest last week because I wasn't here. Because I was in New York, which I just came from.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to New York.
You
and
are?
My name's Morgan.
You're moving back?
No, I'm going back. Well, yeah. I live there.
Well, but weren't you going to stay here for a second?
I don't know.
Okay, so your name is what? Full name. Full disclosure.
I don't know if I want to give my full name because of the whole... the whole thing.
All right, Morgan Silver Greenberg is joining us here on air, on the show, Open Up and Bleed. And he is like, you know, usually we have artists and... you guys forgot your phone or something? We just try to do... There's a lot of PSAs, public service announcements on the show. A community. It is a community show.
Community-driven, a lot of community issues.
Yeah, exactly. So usually, in the spirit of that, we usually have important community members, like people who give back through their creativity on the show. As longtime loyal listeners know, there's a lot of artists, there are a lot of filmmakers, there's sort of like it girls. There's a big cult of personalities around the show who are really creative. And now I want to welcome for the first time just someone who is like really not creative.
Thank you.
Like a really sort of like, how would you describe your mind? Talking to the mic.
I would describe my mind as one of the most creative minds.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
In the biz?
In the whole entire world.
You would.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
So
I have
my
really
whole
high
conception,
opinion of myself.
Yeah, my whole conception of who you are as a person is completely misinformed. I'm like Charlie Rose reading the wrong cliff notes about my guest.
Yeah.
Okay. So in fact, I was wrong. You continue in the long and healthy tradition of this show as being a very creative person.
Yeah, just a different field.
Okay, what is your field?
I don't know. Innovation?
Innovation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is a hashtag buzzword.
I know. It's
okay,
crazy.
What name three things in history that have been innovative in your mind?
In the history of the world?
It's human civilization.
Yeah. That's a really great. That's such a good
I'm
question.
Sure you
yeah.
can think I can think of 10.
Yeah, so the internet is like an incredibly innovative thing.
Right.
The engine and the printing press.
Right, the printing press, really.
Yeah.
And then I was maybe going to say car, which is kind of like engine.
Yeah.
Then I was probably going to say the internet. We both were thinking the same ones. Jones sitting off to my right, like a kind of Robin, what do they call her? Robin Bird, Robin Thick?
Oh, yeah, Robin Bird.
Robin Bird.
Oh, no, the other one.
No,
Robin Bird has the show, but Robin, you mean like Howard Stern's Robin.
Howard Stern's Robin.
Yeah.
And what would you say? Were you thinking what we were thinking? For the most part. Well, that confirms it. So now that we've qualified what innovation is in a real, like, you know, sort of like way that everyone understands it, what the fuck are you doing, maggot? What could you possibly do on that level?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be a blip in the history of mankind. You
want
to be like that guy who invented the internet.
Yeah.
That nobody knows their name.
Al Gore.
Exactly. Or that guy who invented the car. Nobody knows their name.
Henry Ford.
Didn't invent the car.
Yeah, but kind of, yeah.
Kind of. Al Gore is the Henry Ford of the internet. Everyone knows who invented the printing press. Steve Gutenberg. Sorry, John. That's old.
Yeah, no,
humor.
I mean, I think that earlier in my career, I was working on something that I thought would be like
your career
that
in innovation.
Yeah. Well, earlier on in my existence in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that?
It was when I was doing all the complex systems research.
The Wolfram stuff?
The Stephen Wolfram stuff.
Wolfram language.
Well, yeah.
But you didn't. You're not saying specifically you thought Wolfram language was going to be this big innovative.
No.
You thought just this complex system analysis would yield.
Yeah, I thought
something.
That like in the history of the world, right, and actually going to those inventions that we have, right, like the combustible engine, the printing press,
the iPhone,
the internet. I think that we're entering a time where you can engineer with organic principles, you know, like make things grow the way that things grow in biology. And so the mathematics I was working on were, to try and help us get to a place where we could grow things as opposed to just build them and have them be sort of like stationary objects or machines.
You know, in the 1600s, right, they were having a hard time reconciling all of the science that they were learning and that they were exploring with these very clear-cut life dictating religious principles that they had.
Oh yeah.
You know? And so one of the more elegant, and that's a word that they used a lot, elegant, but I'm just using it sort of like backhandedly. One of the more elegant resolutions they came up with is that God is the ultimate constructor, you know?
Yes.
Like the universe is a clock, you know, and clocks were very complicated back then, that God built, and then everything functions in this very mechanical, clear-cut way.
Yeah.
But God's not managing things. He's not like checking in every day and making sure the birds chirp the way they're supposed to and the bees make the honey the way they're supposed to. He set that all in motion because he's a master builder.
Yeah.
That's what they called him. And then everything had its laws and mechanical laws that he put into place.
Yeah, no.
You know, and that was the way they were able to reconcile all the things they were observing and testing and retesting and hypothesizing with the great creator, right? Up until Darwin. Then things got much more fucked. You know?
Yeah.
No,
and those metaphors change with the times. Like the clock was like the main thing.
The clock was like,
you know, that was gifted when you were with world leaders when they'd meet at the time, and that was rare because it was very difficult for, you know, someone to go.
Not in Europe, but yeah.
But elsewhere,
whatever.
Right? So when I believe it was whoever was controlling India at the time went to like Britain. And brought a clock.
Uh-huh.
And they brought a clock to show.
From India or from Britain to India?
I can't remember.
You don't know.
I don't know that. I know enough about it. Which
you
is
know
that
there was a clock.
That
about.
It was, and it was used as a metaphor to show we are the most advanced nation.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
Is like, right.
Well, because the clocks were so elegant, they had so many moving parts. You know,
and it was the most sophisticated. It was the most sophisticated thing you could build.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
very complicated when you looked into the gears. And all of that. But what I'm trying to say is that it's a little bit ironic or just, I guess, intriguing to me that, you know, the origins of what we consider like Western science, right, has to do with this idea of everything working in this very like discoverable mechanical way.
Yeah.
And the idea of what you're trying to discover is very, very similar but has no religious component to it, but actually does have like a full religious component, right? It says that nature does it better, does it the best. Like, we need to discover
yeah.
the way nature does it because that is the grand order of things, better than we can conceive of in a human constructed system.
More that it's a more sophisticated way of building something. Right. And so and going to the religious part, it's life. Like what gives something life? What how does it self replicate? How does it continue to exist? And how
so
does
you're
it grow?
Talking about complex systems on a biological level?
Or, you know, on a theoretical level, because you could apply it to the idea of culture, you could apply
no,
it
no,
to
No, I get it. I get that that's where you extrapolate it to, but what you're trying to uncover is the way it works biologically and
yeah,
then extrapolate it.
Naturally,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or in an environmental system.
And you're working on it with Wolfram and a bunch of other guys?
I was. I'm not.
Yeah. And when
yeah.
you were doing that, did you ever feel like, wow, like, I am really attracted to men?
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
because they're growing all the time, and if I'm around them, I make them grow. But they'll have boners.
Their penises grow. Yeah, yeah. And so you think, like, I see their dicks are getting big for me.
Yeah.
And my heart is getting big for their dicks.
Definitely.
And then you're like, well, maybe this whole thing where I've been trying to get with chicks and I feel like a few girls have been soulmates with me is wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe these guys. Because have you ever thought, up until at that point in your life, had you ever thought, like, wow, this girl or this woman is really brilliant? If you're thinking about it for that long, it seems like no, dude. It seems like the answer is no. It seems like up until that point, you only thought men are so brilliant.
No, I love them. I think at that point, I thought that a lot of people were brilliant.
People. Regardless of gender. Name some.
People that I thought were brilliant. Yeah. I thought Stephen Wolfram was pretty brilliant.
That's a man.
Yeah. You mean name the...
Just name whoever comes to mind.
I thought, oh my God, who's the...
you don't even know her name.
Joan Jacobs.
Who's that?
The woman that she was like a charitable urbanist
in the early 1900s and worked with Jacob Riis to expose all the conditions of the poor and the slums and then restructured the city and blah, blah, blah.
Kind of.
Am I combining two?
I think you're combining two different people.
Women,
yeah.
Jane Addams or something like that, and then Joan Jacobs, who was like critical.
I think I'm wrong on her name. I think it's something like
that.
But
you're talking about the woman who was super critical of Robert Moses,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, the opposing force.
I'm talking about people you've met, you fool.
Oh.
Do you find inspiration from people that you know, or not really?
I do. Yeah.
I think it's important, but, like, you know, I think a lot of the most brilliant people in the history of man and our civilization, they hate their peers. They are in dialogue.
I think
with
I have like a. I think I
greats.
Have like a love hate relationship with everybody.
Even the ancients.
I mean, anyone that I meet, my peers. Yeah.
Yeah. What if?
And actually, especially even more so, authority. So, like, anyone above me, like my peers is one thing. My colleagues is one thing.
Your former mentor, Stephen Wolfram.
Oh, I mean, I think he could be doing more.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first, folks. A person that you've never heard of, who is theoretically very important, could be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
Look, why don't we just cut to the chase?
Okay.
Your love life. It's in shambles. It's
terrible. Yeah, it's
bad
the worst.
Right now,
yeah, it's really bad. Yeah.
What could you do? Like, you're going to go to New York in a few days for business.
And to kind of live there. I still kind of live there.
Well, you have an apartment there?
Uh-huh.
Why didn't you offer it as a place for me and Jonas there during our trip?
Because I literally just heard that you got back from New York.
Has it been empty this whole time?
The whole time I've been here.
Do you consider yourself a rich person?
No.
You don't consider yourself rich?
No.
But you had an empty apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. No one's subletting it.
Well, I mean, this is my thing. You know, I live in a co-op building.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means that I live in a building where everyone knows each other.
Right, right. So you can't have randos.
I can't have randos. I can't have randos.
You can have randos like good friends like us. Maybe pop in.
To a certain extent, I think that the general idea would be that you guys were subletting my apartment.
That
like
would be
if they saw it. If the people
that
there
would
saw,
be better.
No. It wouldn't be good. I'm saying it would get me in trouble regardless of you being my friends.
Oh yeah, it couldn't be like they would be like, oh, he's subletting it. He's just one of those Airbnbers.
Exactly.
Because they don't even know what that is. Because they're older.
They don't know.
How do they let you in the building in the first place? You had some references like Stephen Wolfram.
So Joan
Jacobs.
So it's a co-op building, and I rent, and there's only three rental units in the building.
And the rest are owned.
And they're all owned. And so
what neighborhood's it in?
It's in Greenwich Village.
Very trendy, very cool.
I wouldn't say it's trendy.
Well, it's past trendy. It was trendy in 1951. Yeah. Now it's basically for families.
Yeah.
For people with French or British accents.
Young wealthy couples.
And rich guys.
Yeah, rich. Well, rich couples.
No, what about you? How do you live there? You're not a couple.
Well, I live in a studio. It's not expensive. Yeah.
Okay, very nice.
And I rent it.
And you rent it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us stay there.
You're welcome.
Morgan.
Yeah.
Silver Greenberg. What's your birthday?
December 21st. It's a winter solstice.
1983.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the birthday of your brother.
My twin brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more handsome?
I think that he's become more handsome more recently.
He has?
Yeah.
He's changed. His face changes more than yours.
Uh-huh.
You look the same as when I met you.
Yeah, that's right.
Morgan doesn't know this, but I actually met him for the first time when he was 12 years old. He was passed out. The local priest, you know, gave him some rope. How do you call it, John? Rohypnol? Rohypnol.
Yeah, Roe versus Wade.
Exactly. Rohypnol. And then after what the priest and I did to him, Roe versus Wade was what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
For this hot little mama. Hey, you know what? I was I was on a plane today. John and I were on a plane, and you know, United, it gives you free TV. Like all the movies are free. Everyone's gobbling up TV.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know how you can look between the seats in front of you into someone else's
screen? Oh yeah, I love doing that. Yeah.
So I was looking, and someone was watching a conversation with President Clinton about stuff. Like Clinton just gets 2 hours on CNN to talk about his views and shit.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the middle of that,
kind of like this.
Exactly. Yeah. I am the Clinton to your CNN. To K Chung is CNN. You're Clinton, and I'm the CNN host.
Just
irrelevant.
The host.
Yeah,
yeah, just
stupid. Loser.
Who was the host in this case?
I don't know. I didn't have headphones plugged into their seat, and I wasn't watching that one. But I did see in subtitles, you know, closed caption, they call it for the deaf. He was going on and on about abortion, you know. And more or less, I agree with everything he was saying, that it's like, you know, it's a tough choice that a woman has to make with her family, between herself and her body, and no one's doing it, like, you know, like, without really thinking about it, and da-da-da-da-da. And everything he's saying I agree with, but at the same time, I just screamed this with no context. Joan probably doesn't even know why the hell I screamed this, but I just said really loud on the plane, I'm like, can, like, men stop talking about abortion? Like, I don't even care if they have enlightened views. Like, no one should be talking about abortion except for women. Only women should have the right to talk about it and make any decisions about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care how progressive your view of it is as a man. Like, just shut up.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you. Be supportive. Be there for the woman in your life if she's going through that. But don't even pretend or motion towards, like, having any authority or over it or any sort of even half sympathetic idea that you could help contextualize it for other men. Just stay out of it. All men, stay out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a woman's
just
body. It's a woman's
stupid.
Choice.
Just so dumb. Like if someone asked Bill Clinton about what he thinks about abortion, he'd be like, ask a woman. Ask my wife. Ask my daughter. Ask any woman. That's the only people we should be talking about. That's a real, like, G answer, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, it just made me mad. That's another point of the show for me, to just kind of open up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Do you know anyone who's experienced that?
Had an abortion?
Because of your... or a group or a duo carelessness, or maybe
a duo's carelessness.
Well, either I don't mean like, you know, double P. Yeah. I just mean like, you know, it's not like you're not a rapist or whatever.
No.
Or you're not like a guy who's like,
no,
I'm wearing a condom.
I've never been responsible for an abortion.
You've never been responsible for accidental pregnancy?
I don't know. I people have had to take the morning after pill.
Right.
I might have fucked up.
Yeah, but you've never been like, No, nothing happened. Don't worry about it. And then a month later, she's like, I'm pregnant. And you're like, see you later.
Yeah, not that I know of.
What was the scummiest way you've broken up with someone? I mean, do you feel like you've had a lot of relationships in your life?
Relationship, like real, like boyfriend-girlfriend style?
However you choose to define it. You know, we're living in a new era where it's like you don't have a class steady ring.
I mean, I think that I've had like four... maybe five legitimate relationships.
Yeah.
Where it's
duration
been like,
isn't that important. Like, it could be 3 months.
But like where I was like really
intense.
Into them, and it was like, yeah, it was known.
Yeah.
And
did you break up all of them?
I've broken up all of them except for one of them.
And that's the person you're still madly in
for
love
sure,
with.
Absolutely.
Of
yeah.
course, that's how it
yeah.
works.
yeah.
So if you really want to keep me on a string, Joan, just dump my ass. I have you on a string because you owe me thousands of dollars. That will be stricken from the radio show record.
yeah.
Okay, so the four that you did leave behind in the dust, can you describe the one that just seems so... Like, you occasionally will still have regret what you did? Or do you feel pretty clean about all of them?
I feel relatively clean about all of them.
Uh-huh.
I think that, like, more recently, the most recent one...
That you left behind.
That I left behind.
Was this, like, after you got dumped? No.
This is after I got dumped, and so it changed my whole... It actually, like, really fucked with me.
We briefly met this girl, didn't we, huh?
Yeah, that's
briefly.
Right.
Briefly.
Briefly.
Yeah. In between naps. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She wasn't... What did you think of her in the...
No impression. I can't comment.
You can't even comment.
Did you have an impression?
Joan, did you have an impression of her?
No.
Oh, come on. Joan is quick to judge.
If you had to describe...
Yeah, describe her.
Describe her. Yeah. Describe her quickly.
Come on.
Sleepy brunette?
Come on,
that's not enough.
Like, I really don't remember her.
I'll tell you what Joan said. I'll tell you what... There you go.
What?
She wasn't that memorable. That's a more apt description. I'll tell you what Joan said to me in the car later. It's like, Morgan's really going out with that basic ass white bitch.
Did you really say that?
No, I mean, I just made that up. But, like, that's probably what Joan's thinking.
Yeah. She's not that basic.
No, I'm not. Hey, look.
Although, actually, I did kind of say that I thought, like, so this was actually a big problem in our relationship.
That is a bad way to break up with somebody and tell them, I think you're basic.
Well, she was basically talking about my other girlfriend and was kind of like the one who broke up with me. It was kind of like, oh, you know, don't you think that, like, oh, I'm sorry that I don't, like, do a ton of drugs and, like, stay out all night, whatever, do this thing. And then I was...
She was like, I'm sorry I'm not an it girl.
Yeah, I know. And then I was kind of like, yo, like, she was like, she kind of brought it up, you know, do you think that I'm basic? And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, I kind of think you're basic. Definitely your friends are basic.
But then, you know, like, you only have yourself to blame for getting involved with someone that you ultimately had instincts about being basic. She was complicated.
She was complicated, but her friends were definitely basic.
She lured you in with her sex appeal and your early infatuation.
And the fact that I didn't really want to do anything because I was heartbroken from this girl.
Oh, she's like, let me be your rebound. And you're like, okay, take care of me. And then
she was like, well, why don't we, you know, let me be your rebound, but really I'm going to try to be your, like, main thing.
Your main thing.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you, anytime, and I don't want to say this is gender specific, anytime anyone's into someone at the beginning, they do seem like the most interesting person in the world at that moment.
Yeah.
And then, depending on how interesting they actually are, that can wear off right away, a few months later, or never, you know? And so then once it wears off, you're confronted with the reality of who this person is, and then you're like, yo, not what I thought I was getting involved with.
No, I mean, I think that, like...
Broke up with her in a bad way?
It's not that I broke
you
up with
said,
her in
hey,
a bad
yo,
way.
By the
no,
way.
No, but, I mean, I had been, like... I had basically been, like, hurt by her. And also, like, trying to protect myself because of how heartbroken I was the time before. So, you know, I wanted to, like, kind of...
Oh, now it was your turn to hurt someone else.
It wasn't my turn to hurt someone else. But it was... I didn't want to get hurt again. And I was kind of upset, you know?
About what had happened before.
Yeah, about what had happened. Both before and with.
So who's... You have your eye on someone right now?
No.
You haven't crushed on anyone, even from a distance?
No.
Do you
really
look at people, like, virtually and crush on them because of, like, their Instagram or, like... I don't think you're on Facebook, but, like, just... Or, like, maybe an article they wrote or, like, some modeling they did or maybe, like, a movie they made or something?
I mean,
you ever read your sister's writing in the New York Times and you're like, oh, she's so talented.
Yeah.
I could maybe do this incest thing.
I've thought about it.
You know, can we say Morgan's sister, this will help you narrow down more who I'm talking to here, has won 5 Pulitzer Prizes.
She's been a finalist. She's been a finalist 4 times and hasn't
4
won.
Times?
And hasn't won.
Oh, I thought just 2. I was kidding.
Oh.
She's Scorsese of Pulitzer Prizes.
She's been a finalist 4 times? How's that even possible? I guess you have to be writing journalism at least 4 years.
Yeah.
How's that even possible? Okay, so answer my original query, which is, you know, you see something out there in the field, like writing or modeling or making something?
I mean, I felt really, like, every time that I look at anything online, I felt an aversion to it. For the past few months, I don't think that there's been any concept or, like, thing where when I've seen it, I've gotten, like, excited about
it. I'll tell you something I read today on Facebook that I thought was pretty brilliant. Mm-hmm. And this is a crush I have on a person I know who's man, named Brad Trammell. You know who that is?
No.
He is a artist and theorist. And he was saying that he walked into some bougie supermarket, and like supermarkets in New York and delis in New York have, it's like, you know, they like have the surveillance cam still of the people who stole from them.
Oh yeah,
You know, like kind of like this motherfucker stole. Here's a picture of them, right? So he was saying if a company was really smart and wanted to engage in organic branding, what it would do is cast some like very attractive model-esque people to go in and steal their product
from the
supermarket
idea.
And make sure that their packaging was very bold, like very simple and bold, and make sure that when they were stealing, it was like really prominently held, you know? And that way, when that person is then put up for surveillance or whatever, that, and because he was saying that the it's prime real estate where they hang those.
Yeah.
It's like better than any ad you could get like for
a brand. No, and it's at the point of purchase, which is a very important thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like right there. And you're like, whoa, that's a cool price. And like the person's really good looking. And it's like, and it's saying to the world like, hey, I am so addicted to this product.
I need
this product so bad. I'm willing to go to jail for
it. And I'm adventurous.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of positive connotations.
Yeah, exactly. This is so appealing. Yeah. Like, you know, people who like this product do crazy cool shit and are hot.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
That's a really good idea.
So I'm telling you, the internet does have copyright. Brad Trammell, more power to you. Although if I know him, it's in the Creative Commons. You know.
The sign of any good crush.
What?
The sign of any good crush.
Yeah, the Creative Commons, exactly.
I think I'd be attracted to someone who was whose face was on that wall.
Right.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be attracted to the person who coined that concept?
No.
Why? But you said yourself that you think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I'm unhappy with the ways of like publishing and like existing right now. Like I think even like the idea of referencing the Facebook post already,
it makes you like, oh, like cringe.
Yeah, I'm like that guy's disgusting.
Well, look, everyone knows that Facebook is really called Family Book now, and Instagram is called Instagrandpa, you know, and Snapchat is just called Cat Chat. And Vine is really just called Wine because it's for older people. And everything that we think is for tweens is really for 20-somethings. What we think is for 20-somethings is really for 50-somethings.
Yeah.
You know, 50-somethings have tattoos now and piercings and dyed hair. You understand what I'm getting at?
I do.
So everyone knows that the things that
make
money are stale.
But maybe, you know... I was with like a bunch of older people.
Right. 30s.
Like
50s?
Like 60s.
Are you in your 30s?
I'm in my 30s.
Wow. Yeah. Old guy.
I know. Okay.
20s.
I was actually, it's John's mom's birthday.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow, recently?
Recently.
Nice.
And so it's like a table of like a lot of kind of like cooler older people.
Of course. Yeah.
And they were talking and we were kind of, you know, the idea that I was actually the only one representative of, like, my generation.
What about Johnny? Table. He wasn't there?
He wasn't there. He was in Turkey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She invited you, though.
Yeah.
Karen reached out.
I mean, I love Karen.
Yeah, she's great. She's a wonderful woman.
And so, you know, at this dinner, someone was like, the way the lines between our generations, like, are kind of getting blurred a little bit more because we're all using similar tools. So before there was, like, this idea that everyone would watch, you know, let's say like in the 40s, everyone would listen to the Shadow radio show, right?
Maybe. It's really just for kids, but go on.
No, I mean, it was for everyone. People would listen as a family. There weren't that many things. There weren't that many movies.
People
would see the same shit. Now there's so much shit. People aren't seeing the same shit, they're using the same tools.
Right.
And so that has kind of like...
been a leveler.
Yeah, clap some of the boundaries around.
I don't know, but that's kind of like saying like, oh, like I totally relate to this guy. If like in 1991 saying like I totally relate to this guy because we both listen to tapes in our car. Do You know what I mean?
No, but it would be like saying I relate to him because we both listen to the Beatles, and the Beatles coming here was like a big thing. And so,
no,
like,
but
we're
that's
like,
the old model.
We're
but...
watching. No, because, well, that's because that's around content, whereas Tools is kind of like
Tools
a
is
way
new
to
content
discovery.
Now?
I mean, it's not a new content, but it's a new way of discovering things, a new way of generating a way of existing, right? So, like, all these older people at the table,
right,
they're trying to find more things that they think are interesting and cool, and like we're all kind of
like they're using
tooling
family
around
book.
They're all tooling around, they're yeah. losing family book, seeing shit that people
they're
post.
Using family book and yeah. trying to wrap their heads around Cat Chat.
They love Cat Chat.
They
still love MySpace.
No, they don't. Yes. They don't even know what that is. I do recall so significantly waiting for the train from Long Island, that's right, the suburbs, going into Manhattan in the year 2002 or 3 when I was in 10th grade or 11th grade. And I do recall so significantly a guy who was maybe in his late 20s talking to his mom, which is the age I am now, trying to describe to his mom what Friendster is. If you recall such,
yeah.
such
how
a
how did
thing.
He do it?
Oh, he was just like, he was like, it's like... you can see what I'm interested in
yeah.
and my picture, and then you can find other people who are interested in what you're interested in, and you can see their picture. Because that's really what it was.
Yeah, which is really what Facebook is.
Well, yeah, except the Facebook thing, you know, is it like the idea of like a feed and like
no,
updates
but that's,
and
that's
shit.
New. That's
updates
like,
and shit.
Yeah.
That's not like that's something that was. MySpace was maybe hinting at, and that really hadn't become anything until like Facebook and then Twitter. You know, once Twitter came out, Facebook got way heavier on that. We don't need to do like a sort of like a Cliff Notes history. No,
I'm
of
all I'm
media.
Saying with that is that it existed before. Like here, you have Facebook, which has created all this value around it, and then you also have these things that like died off, like MySpace and
oh,
Friendster.
Oh yeah, I mean MySpace is notorious.
Prior to it, and
MySpace is so comical that Fox, you know.
Yeah,
Rupert
Murdoch
bought it for like, you know, maybe over $1 billion at the nadir of it. Like, you know,
yeah.
when it was clear to anyone with any sense of like what is cool and what is being used that it was irrelevant already
yeah.
when he bought it.
Totally.
You can't make a platform that succeeds based around music bands because that's what MySpace was originally. You have to make things that succeed based around college students
yeah.
because unlike music bands, college students, at least the influential ones, are rich, okay, and we live in an aspirational country and everyone wants to be rich or know someone who is rich or give off the appearance of having a vacationed and property owned lifestyle, you know. And so college, besides a place for people to party and maybe casually rape each other, is also a place where you can have the appearance of being rich because it costs money and everyone knows that intellect is somehow tied into that, like knowledge and art, and then it's kind of tied into maybe the idea of being rich.
Yeah.
Ivy League, that means something, right?
Absolutely. Well, and that's how it started.
I know, that's how the Facebook started. I was one of the original invitees.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My freshman year of college is the first year of Facebook going outside of Harvard, only being used to the Ivies.
Yeah, Columbia University.
Wow!
Yeah.
Not even a humble brag,
yeah.
a pathetic yeah. Nostalgia brag.
What year was that?
2004. I believe the first year of it was 2003 in Harvard exclusively, and then 2004. Anyway. Do you follow my logic there about rich college? You can only make a social network
yeah.
succeed.
I mean, I think that it was. I mean, I think that it was at a time where college was more accessible.
You think it was more accessible then than now?
It was the most applicants ever those years.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
More so, it was a time when there's like an economic boom.
Yes, that's true.
Everyone, you know, the default for most families was figure out how to get
I think
into college.
You know, I think maybe when you're talking about influencers, sure. But I think actually the rhetoric surrounding college only really trickled down the most hardcore, like around, I would say, 2009, 2010. And it's still sort of being assimilated now, like all across the country, where people believe it's their right to go to college. Like, that's a popular sort of rhetorical thing right now. Yeah. Like, people have the right to go to college, and if you don't go to college, your life is shit. You can't do anything with your life.
Yeah.
It's like a lame, like, that's a mainstream concept.
I think that's being questioned now.
Oh, I think anybody who is a free-thinking person would clearly question.
Even there are people, you know, the idea of a there's a lot of things going on with, is college, especially, like, you know, online universities.
Phoenix, for-profit universities.
Are these yielding results that are financially
worth it? I mean, anyone who thought, but clearly anyone at the beginning who thought that they were going to achieve something that was going to be life-altering and positive from Phoenix Online University and other similar schools is, in my opinion, no hate, someone who probably shouldn't have gone to college in the first place.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's true. Because you are fucking dumb. You're fucking dumb if you think that's going to yield. That's not learning.
I mean, I think that people get into the workplace and feel like there's no upward mobility due to a lot of reasons.
Okay, tell me.
And then their interpretation of that is, okay, well, if I go to college, I can't go, you know, they're a little bit, right. They're past the age where it makes sense to,
I can't go, I have a job, yeah, I can do I this like online family, course at night.
Here's this thing to where I can do it.
From home.
And the thing that they're not seeing is that those forces that are making it so that they don't have any real upward mobility will still exist.
Yeah.
Whether or not they have an online degree or not.
Yeah. Because wouldn't you agree with me as a white male from a middle class, maybe even upper middle class background, that a lot of upward mobility just comes from your connections, your social connections? What do you think of that, Morgan?
I don't know.
You don't think that's true?
I think that a lot of your first opportunities come from things like that. I mean, it's like the whole point of going to, right? Like business school as like a great example.
Uh-huh.
People use it based on the connections that they make. And if they're
they don't
gonna
go
get
there
into
to
it,
learn business.
Usually not.
They just go there to meet other people who are going to be working in their field and who maybe are already rich or really aspiring to be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's a network that you
do. Do you feel like the main value that you gleaned from, you went to school, right? To university?
Oh, I went to NYU.
You went to NYU. Yeah. Do you feel like the value you gleaned from that was social?
No.
Or you feel you earned what did you get from it? Or did you get anything from it?
Yeah, I mean, that's going back to the, like, I was trying to, you know, complex systems, which was like a field that really you needed to
have a background in.
And it was something I really wanted to learn about. And
it was an
environment where I could learn about it.
The professors and all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you actually did what they say college is for. You learned things.
Yeah. But I mean, I took time off before really doing that because I didn't really know what I was doing there.
That is a very upper middle class thing to do. Take a leap year, gap year. What did you do in that gap year?
I mean, I traveled to India.
Totally white guy.
And then I just came when I got
and
back.
And you just came all over the place.
I didn't really know what I was doing, and I moved to New York and supported myself and worked at a deli.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What sandwich did you make the best?
Well, it was going back to the white guy thing, it was a vegan deli.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they still made sandwiches there, right?
Not really. I made smoothies.
Oh yeah. What smoothie did your talent line? I don't even know anymore.
I can't even remember what the smoothies were.
But I bet you these smoothies, this is probably back in 2004 or 5, right?
It would have been like 2003, yeah.
Yeah. I bet you these smoothies weren't over $5.50.
No.
Now, if you found a smoothie for $5.50, you'd be praising the heavens.
Oh my God, I'd
you'd be
so
like,
happy.
Wow, yeah. this is a great deal.
And you know,
deal.
I drink a lot of these smoothies.
Well, you have a great diet. Why don't you tell us about, like, I've always admired your diet or, you know, like how you eat.
Well, I mean, I just love juice. I love fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, in my mind, all you eat are like berries, nuts, and vegetables.
If only that was true.
What do you eat?
I mean, I eat like a lot, you know, like when I'm here. Like tonight, I was going to see if you guys want to get a taco.
Well, we can still do that. We're not going to eat. We just had tons of Korean barbecue.
And then you had all you could eat.
All we
Jones' father paid for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a gift. No, because today, Joan and I, and especially Joan, were in a horrible mood because of this baby on the plane. The whole time he's going, help me, daddy, daddy, help me, I want my snacks, daddy, daddy, help! Like for fucking 5 hours. At first, you can ask Joan, the first hour, I just thought it was so funny. I was even doing it myself, like kind of like that to Joan. But then after, I just couldn't take it. I love annoying shit, but I just couldn't take it.
I'm worried about having a kid and feeling that way about it. Like, currently, I, like, think, like, oh, you know, this is fucking cute. This is great. But then, you know, it's really for, like, kind of the rest of your life. It's definitely, like, 20 years of just, like...
No, it's probably, like, 10 years. Like, daddy, daddy!
I mean, just... Okay, fine. At least until you're 16, they can't really do everything by themselves. They still really need your help.
Do you ever think about just, like, having a kid and just, like... Sorry, I gotta go on this like long business project for like 6 months. I'll be back.
Well, do you know what I think about is actually just like putting the kid out in nature and then letting the kid, you know, fend for himself and then come back as strong. I for some reason I just think that I'm gonna have
such
a boy.
Such a Nietzschean
then,
concept. Yeah. You wouldn't do that to a girl because you're sexist.
I don't know, Jim. Would you like to have that done to you?
What?
Like just be put out into nature to see if you're gonna work out.
God, if it means not being near my family, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, Joan is, is this the right word? Vigorously, I was going to say originally virulently, but I think vigorously is a better word. Vigorously against having children. She hates the idea. Anytime I mention, even in jest, she flips out. So what do you think about Morgan's idea of having the child and just putting it out into nature?
Yeah, do it.
You're into that.
Yeah, do
you
it.
Would you do it
with Eugene?
Child? Would you give birth to such a child?
To Eugene's child.
No.
Well, no. So you're against... So you're not into that idea.
Well, I'm into other people doing it. No. But I just don't want to have a baby.
You see, the way that God works in his mysterious ways, what's going to happen is that other people are going to...
If you carry the baby for 9 months, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll carry it for 9 months after you give birth to it.
No. Like, if you carry it...
I can't. I don't physiologically have the
science.
Ability... Oh, yeah, Morgan, get on it.
Yeah.
No, here's what's going to happen. This is the way God works in mysterious ways. People are going to start doing that, and you know what? 10 of those babies are probably going to end up in your backyard, and you're going to have to, like, do something about it.
Yeah, and then I'll just kill them because they're on my property.
She said she will kill them because they're on her property. What do they call that law in Florida?
To stand your ground.
Stand your ground.
Yeah.
You ever think about that, Morgan?
About standing my ground?
Well, when was the last time you walked in the middle of the street?
Oh, a lot. Like today.
You're walking like in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
That's what they killed Mike Brown for.
Totally.
You didn't get killed.
No.
I walk in the middle of the street all the time.
Yeah.
That's what they killed Mike Brown for.
No, I definitely...
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, when was the last time you masturbated?
I think today.
What time?
I know exactly what time it was before I had to have, I was like having a work phone call at 11:30. Uh-huh. And so right before that,
did it go well?
It was a little rushed because I had to get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to get ready before your phone calls, like review some materials and stuff.
No, I mean, I just like, I definitely had to be on the phone call at 11:30.
Yeah.
And I kind of took my sweet time getting ready to,
getting
you know,
like your pants down.
Yeah. Like just like,
but
you
then
know,
once
the
you
kitchen.
Started flapping and fapping, you only had like 2 minutes.
I didn't have very much time. I had actually, well, you know what? That's not true. I think I had 12 minutes and it just,
12
the
minutes?
Idea of like, I couldn't even really focus on what thing to like look at, you know, or
what did you end up looking at?
I've gotten into like, so to try to make it a little bit better for myself and less like
evil.
Less evil, I've been getting into like Tumblr.
Okay.
But
there are some evil Tumblr.
There's some evil Tumblr.
You look up on these porny Tumblrs, that's where like, the sickos have their like, you know, sick little fetishes.
So it actually wasn't.
You should look at the Tumblr where this guy shoves things inside of his foreskin.
The Tumblr where this guy shoves things inside of his foreskin.
What type of stuff does he put in his foreskin?
A lot of stuff.
He takes requests.
He takes requests.
He's got like really stretchy foreskins. So really get like an entire bag of M&Ms.
No.
Like a Nokia cell phone.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen it. It's like if you watch Ren and Stimpy, there is that guy who used to like poop out all these objects as rice cakes whatever.
Yeah.
You're talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Anyway,
yeah.
This is like that, but with foreskin.
Wow.
It's very impressive.
That would probably not make you come.
You should put this on link on the. You should put it in the metadata.
Exactly. We'll put it in the metadata right after your name. Well, if anyone clicks on your name, we'll just don't get to that Tumblr. No, I was gonna say, human beings are so self-destructive, don't you think?
Yeah, I've been really self-destructive.
Like I know that if I jack off before I have to do something important that day, it's actually gonna fuck me up. I know I'll just do a bad job.
I don't think it's gonna fuck me up.
I have a psychological connection. You think what? That it'll help you smooth.
I just have this crazy energy, and if I don't, you know, get rid of the crazy energy, it's gonna stay with me all day.
Tell me about how you think humans are self-destructive, because you said, yeah, you get that.
I think that the idea of like going for this thing that's like the most fruitless thing I could do is jack off. I can pretend as though it's a meditative thing. I mean, you might be a meditative
You just said
thing,
it.
But the truth is that, you know, you find yourself being attracted. So like there's two parts to it, right? There's a logical brain, and then there's just the shit that you're attracted to.
There's two parts, like, to jacking off?
No, into pleasure, right? And you can have, there are things where you can derive pleasure from after, you know, a lot of Johnny was talking about this, right? You can throw away some of those desires, those like immediate desires you have,
right.
You can push away some of those desires,
okay.
Like the Tibetan concept, like push away the desires,
yeah.
Focus on, like, you know, the things that matter, or you can go for those sort of, you know, momentary visceral desires, and
yeah,
a lot
Dionysian.
Of those visceral desires exactly are like, you know, drugs and alcohol, sex, masturbating, like
that's a type of sex.
Yeah, eating shitty food. Right?
Eating shitty food. America, that's one of America's biggest sins, probably the biggest.
Yeah, gluttony.
Eating shit, I just need like fast food.
Yeah, and so that's self-destructive, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because
it makes them feel like shit.
Yeah.
It tastes good, and then you just feel like shit. You just want to watch TV. You want the commercials to tell you what to buy.
Yeah.
And then you want to, like, maybe jack off. Maybe, like, you know, be, like, mildly psychologically abusive to your partner.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And maybe if you, depending on where you live and what your history is, maybe you want to use some drugs. Maybe you want to get drunk.
Totally.
That's, like, 80% of America right there.
I mean, even you want to hang out with people. Like, a lot of the time, you know, you're in a sterile environment, you want to hang out with people that are maybe
dangerous.
A little dangerous.
I think that's a subculture. Dangerous people is a subculture. Normal world people is just self-destructive.
No, but normal
American
world people
is
end
just,
up going, they find dangerous things online. They find, like, the, you know, it's not like that. You watch it on television. Why is it that, like, you know, if you look at the top 10 movies every year, a lot of them involve a lot of self-destructive people or dangerous people?
I don't think Iron Man is that self-destructive.
Dangerous?
Yeah, I guess he's dangerous, sure. How are you self-destructive? Are you?
I think that really the main way that I am, the only way that I, or yeah, maybe just the main way I am, is that I want, like, my, going back to the love thing, I want it to be about those, like, non-intellectual, non-logical things, like just emotion, like raw, uh-huh, you know, energy exchanged. And so, like, a lot of the time it will end up that I'm with people who are kind of, like, depressed or, like, a little...
You think there's a direct correlation between depression... or what else were you going to say? Like, emotional
instability? Yeah, I mean, I think that actually going, like, right, you started the show talking about having creative people on here, right?
Wow,
and I think how many of those creative people do you know who are happy for most of the year?
All the people I have on my show have been vetted to be happy.
No.
Because I only want to send out good vibes.
No,
because,
like, what happens is that, you know, you struggle with these ideas, with these concepts, with the things that you're putting out, and, like, you... It's more of a roller coaster than it is just like a straight line.
That's definitely all true, and an apt analysis of maybe the creative mind and its sort of a neurological emotional feedback. But
yeah,
how are you self-destructive?
I always seek that out. I live in it, darker than you,
and who maybe could.
Because the other things to me seem sterile.
Why? You think someone who had a complex, occasionally depressed, but more often than not positive outlook on life, that was completely analytical, highly conceptual, and shared a lot of interest with you, but it could also have fun, would be boring?
No, that sounds good. That sounds okay.
Well, but you like, can find someone like that, you well, fuck. Yeah. Don't just go for these like kind of like dangerous people who like can't share in the things that you're interested in. You're selling yourself short, you fool.
True.
You can do better.
I'll try.
You can.
You should hook me up with somebody.
I will. I'm a really good matchmaker. I will. Okay, so you're going back to New York. What's the game plan? Short term? And then we're going to ask you one question, which I ask all my guests, because we're almost done.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good.
Thank God?
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's been going pretty slow for
you. No, it's actually gone really fast.
Right, that's what people always say. Wow, it was so fast.
It was really fast. It was a fast hour.
No, but thank God, because you hate this?
I mean, this is definitely a different thing.
Yeah. Different than what? Yeah, because nobody gives a shit about your opinion, dude. Yeah. I mean, they want it if they can make money off this. No one's listening right now. I'm not making money off you. I want to get close to my friend.
Okay.
And I think other people can benefit from that.
Yeah.
Or it may be vaguely interesting.
Totally.
Boring. Who gives a shit? Fuck you.
So
not you, them.
Yeah. So my short-term plan is I'm like considering a few job offers. I've been trying to not work.
Yeah.
And
white male privilege.
And now I'm like, and you know, I bought this Jeep that I put a mattress in, and my plan is to.
Is that really where you've been living though? Wait, no.
When I was in California, yeah.
Oh, really?
And so, like, my idea is to drive it either up to Alaska or down to the bottom of the Baja Peninsula.
Wow.
Yeah.
But after New York or something?
Yeah, after New York. I have to go to this wedding. A friend of mine's getting married on Saturday.
Oh, I see. In New York. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to stay there for a few weeks or something?
Probably, like, for a week or so.
Oh.
Maybe a little longer.
And then you're going to come back and do something in that Jeep.
Yeah, I think I
need to take a trip. By yourself or with somebody?
I mean, if I go to the, you know, I'd like to go. It's a little dangerous to go to some of these places alone, and so. I'm trying to get someone to go with me, like Eli.
Yeah.
But Eli's being a fuck.
Well, he's a danger lover. Plus, he speaks way better Spanish than you.
Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 6 months from now, in the perfect world of Morgan, who has survived his forays into the Baja, and who has caught much salmon in Alaska, et cetera.
Yeah.
What is a good life 6 months from now?
I mean, I think that at that point I want to find like a business partner that I like want to work with.
Because you want to start your own thing.
I want to start my own thing.
And what is that very loosely, or you can't disclose it?
No, it's this idea of going from zero to one, like of building something for the first time, like something that hasn't existed. Building something new and making that like
and you don't care what it is?
No, I mean I care, you know, if I can have it be more helpful than
helpful?
You know, I think that like certain things in personalized medicine would be helpful.
Like, you know, like this guy, right? Like
I think Wikipedia is helpful.
Yeah, for sure. Or is it? Or does it just give people a surface knowledge of things and not actually let them go deeper?
I think it lets you get an idea pretty like strong.
But how many biographies have I not read because I've read the like, Wikipedia, you know, entry. 30-minute reading of detailed Wikipedia of Beethoven or whatever? How many Beethoven biographies have I not read? That's deep. Like a biography is deep because
Beethoven biographies.
There probably are at least two.
Maybe even just one.
Maybe just one. Yeah. I mean, I look for the definitive. But what I'm saying is, like, just taking the time to meditate on something is actually very important, and we miss out on that
in our
culture.
That's what I'm trying to do right now, and it's actually really weird.
But let me say this other thing, because it's something to question. And I know you probably don't. You might question a lot, actually. I was going to say you don't. But probably you do.
Yeah.
You know about this guy last week who, like, pharmaceutical company, and he bought the, like, toxoplasmosis drug and raised it from $1,350 to $750. Yeah. And then I started on one of my rants to Joan. I said, what's the deal with, like, the shareholders? Everyone cares about the fucking shareholders.
Yeah.
Like, why don't people care about, like, people, not shareholders? And then Joan's like, well, you know, they're the ones who, like, allow the company to exist. Like, you care about the people who invested in your movie, right? Like, you want to pay them back, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess. And she's like, well, those are the people who put the money into the company, so they just want to pay them back.
Yeah.
And then I was like, huh. You know?
Yeah.
Like, shareholders not being some abstract, evil thing. You very excited for your show? Okay. You'll be, like 1.5 more minutes. Yeah. Well, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
What's the name of the show?
Note.
Notes. Okay, we got notes coming up next in 1.5 minutes. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, but people say, like, it's good. Like I'm doing this for good or mm-hmm. something, or it's important to do something good. But, like, everything gets commodified very quickly in our culture, and everything gets twisted.
Yeah.
Can you really prevent your shit from getting twisted, even if it's good? Or are you going to be twisted to begin with?
I mean, I think that, like, the idea of controlling anything is, like, pretty much impossible. But what you can do is you can try and make it so that the thing itself has, you know,
innately,
like, so the person who made the drug that we're talking about did probably a good thing, but then the person who's now selling it, that's a different story.
Oppenheimer, know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never read that biography. Mm-hmm. All right, so 6 months from now you're doing that, and you and Lucy, you have an idea of what the good thing could be, or you still have to come up with that brilliant concept that's never been invented before?
No, I mean, I think that for me it would be working with other people who are already building it.
Who are we doing that? Yeah. And you're just helping them see their idea to fruition.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it could be me.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yeah, probably not. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, Morgan.
Wait, what was the question that you ask everyone?
Well, that was it. 6 months from now. You thought it was something more controversial? Yeah. Well, okay, fine. I got one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you have an innie or an outie?
I have an innie.
It's pretty normal.
Yeah. What do you
You've
have?
Obviously never felt shame in your life. I have like an outie that's like half innie. It's freakish and bespeaks the poor medicine in the Soviet Union. Because, you know, your belly button is really just your whatever. Your rectal cord. Yeah. Your mattress button. I have my mattress button. Maureen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Wow,
thank you for having me. Yeah.
It was a delight to have you on air. This has been Open Up and Bleed. I am Eugene. Joan, thanks for joining us as well. And tune in next week for another rousing of deeply philosophical and potentially very damaging episode of Open Up and Bleed. This is Kate Chung Radio. We have Notes coming up next. See you next week. Bye.